Today's daf is Shabbos daf Pei Aleph. We are holding on daf Pei Amid Beis. We are at the two dots on daf Pei Amid Beis. Kana kedei lasos kulmos, about seven lines before the end of the page or so. Eight lines, I was right the first time. Kana kedei lasos kulmos, a reed, the size, the shear of a reed for which you chayev for hotzah on Shabbos, is if it's big enough to make a quill out of it. So tana kulmos hamagil, the kishrei etzbos, so we're talking about a quill that reaches up to the knuckles. Bayer avashi, kesher elyon or kesher atachton, which knuckle, the top one or the bottom one? So teku, we leave that unresolved. Vim haya ava, but we said if it's unfit for making a quill out of, if it's too thick of a reed for you to possibly make a quill out of, then the shear is, if it could be used as firewood to be able to cook a beitza kala. So says the Gemara, Tana trufa b'shemen v'nesuna b'ilfa. So Mishnah said it's to be able to cook not just a beitza kala, but it said a beitza kala shebebeitzim, that's trufa nesuna b'ilfa. So what does this mean? So Gemara says, trufa b'shemen, it has to be beaten with oil, v'nesuna b'ilfa, and put in a pot. So such an egg cooks very easily, and therefore doesn't need it doesn't need to cook for that long. So the wood that you would need to support the fire, to fuel such a fire, would not be that much. But what kind of egg are we talking about? What kind of egg is very easy to cook, cooks very quickly? It's the egg of a small dove. Because that's a very small egg, so we assume it doesn't take very long to cook. So it says, maybe we're talking about the egg of a hummingbird. So ishtik. So he didn't say anything. Amalei midi shmielach ba. So he said, have you heard anything? Do you have any sort of mesorah about this? Amalei hachiyam Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes taught the following. Beitzas tarnagolas. That really it's a regular egg. It's a chicken egg. My korol a beitza kala. Why do they call it a beitza kala? It's not any smaller than the eggs that we're talking about of the hummingbird and the small dove. So why is it called the beitza kala? Shiru chachamim, because the chachamim figured, ein lecha beitza kala levashel yoser mi beitzas tarnagolas. There's no egg that cooks more easily than a chicken egg. Umayshna kol shir Shabbos could grow gross v'achal kabeit. So why is it that every other shir Shabbos that we have for rotsa, most of the shirim are always a shir could grow gross, and now all of a sudden the shir is going to be kabeitza, meaning any, not all shir Shabbos, but all shir of ochlim. Anytime it's, we talk about hotzah of food, of human food, the shir is always a grow gross. So why dafka by an egg is the shir kabeitza? So amalei hachya, why dafka by the reed rather is the shir going to be to cook a kibetza, meaning the shear isn't really kibetza over here. The shear is the reed that would be able to fuel a fire that would cook an egg. The reed doesn't have to be the size of an egg, but that's what we're calling kibetza. Amalei hachiyam Rav Nachman kigrogros mi beitza kala. Even over here, the shear is kigrogros mi beitza kala, meaning the amount of wood that would be needed to fuel a fire that would cook a grogros of a beitza kala, meaning the shear of a grogros of a chicken egg. So once we are able to determine that beitza kala does not refer to the size of the egg, but rather beitza kala refers to how easily it gets cooked, so now we don't have to say that the shear is a kibetza. We don't have to say that the actual size that we're talking about is the size of the egg itself. The size could be a shear of a grogris, and the term kibetza is just used to determine how easily cooked the item is. Says the Mishnah, more halachos about that which you're allowed to carry on Shabbos, not allowed to carry on Shabbos, what the shear is for carrying on Shabbos. Etzem, what's the shear of bones to be able to carry on Shabbos? Kedei lasos tarva, the shear that you would need to hollow out to make a spoon. Bone china, they used to, they still do. They would make, they'd make a spoon out of the bones. So that's the shear. Rabbi Yehuda omer kedei lasos menu chaf. It's the amount that you would need to make a lock out of it. Zechuchis, what about glass? Kedei ligra rosh hakarkar. You need the glass large enough to scrape the top of the weaver's pick. The weaver would have some type of instrument that you would use glass in order to scrape it off. That's the minimum shear of glass for which you're chayiv. Tsror o even, when we're talking about a pebble, a rock, kidei lizrok ba'of, the shear would be for carrying on Shabbos, a rock that's big enough to throw at a bird when you want to chase away a bird. Rav Elazar bar Yaakov omer kidei lizrok ba'behema. Rav Elazar bar Yaakov says, no, it's the amount that you would need to throw at a behema if you wanted to chase away a behema, which is obviously a larger rock, than would be necessary to chase away a bird. So So says Gemara, going back to the first line, what's the shear of bone? We had two shitos. Tanakama said enough to make a spoon out of, and Rabbi Yehuda says enough to make a lock out of. So it sounds like you need more bone to make a lock than you do to make a spoon. So says Gemara, but wait a second, like we asked in yesterday's daf, lemeimer de shear of Rabbi Yehuda nafish. Do you mean to tell me that the shear of Rabbi Yehuda is a greater shear? Hakaimel and shear of the Rabbanan nafish. But don't we hold that the shear of the Rabbanan is always a greater shear? So why does Rabbi Yehuda say a larger shear, the amount of bone that you need to make a lock? So Amrula chafi posachas. No, he means to say not the entire lock, but the shinayim hakvuim. Rashi says the shinayim hakvuim, but the teeth in the lock, but not the lock itself. So the teeth of the key, that's what he's talking about. That's the size of bone you would need, and that is smaller than the size of a bone that would be necessary to make a spoon. We didn't point it out yesterday, but all the Rishonim are bothered by this whole question. We keep on asking, the Memer de Shira de Rabbi Yehuda Nafish, do you think Rabbi Yehuda's shear is a greater shear? The Ramban, the Ran, all ask, what's the kash over here? We don't compare shiure Shabbos to each other, that just because you're machmir on one shear means you have to be machmir on the other shear. All shiure Shabbos, what are all these shiurim we're giving in all these mishnayos? They're all one thing. There's one definition to the halacha, and that is, what's the minimum amount of this item that's chashuv? So the minimum, Rabbi Yehuda might think the minimum amount of one item is chashuv in a smaller measure, and another item is chashuv in a larger measure. Why does the Gemara assume that Rabbi Yehuda has to always be giving the smaller shear? Maybe for different items, he views chashivus in a different way. So the answer that the Machlokes Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanan is really about, really relates to Abaye's comment. Remember, Abaye had said that any time you have a milsa de shchiach and a milsa de lo shchiach, let's say you have an item that has two uses, one that's a very common use and one that's not a common use at all. So in determining the shear of Hotzah and Shabbos, we always look at the common use. And if it has two milsa de shchiach, then we have two uses that are both shchiach, that are both common, then we always go the chumra, we go with the smaller of the two. So I said, Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabban are arguing about the following. What if one of them is shchiach tuva, it has two uses, and one of the uses is very, very common, and for that use it has a larger shear, and then the other use is shchiach, but not as shchiach as the larger use, meaning it's an in-between case. It's a case Abaye didn't address. Abaye spoke about shchiach and shchiach, which meant that they're equally shchiach. He spoke about shchiach and lo shchiach. Now we're talking about a case that has two uses, one very shchiach and one somewhat shchiach. So that's the machlokas. The Rabbanan hold you go basar shchiach tfei, you always go with what is more shchiach, and therefore they always end up with a larger shear. And Rabbi Yehuda holds, no, since the other use is also shchiach, even though it's not shchiach kulehai, it's not quite as shchiach as the first use, we would follow that. And that's why Rabbi Yehuda always ends up with a smaller shear. So that's why it's going to be consistent, because Rabbi Yehuda's the one that's more machmir in principle, on this shaila of how to define shchiach versus eino shchiach. So that's how the Rishonim understand. Says the Gemara Vayter now, we're about six lines into the page. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, let's get it right. 7 lines into the page. Tan Rabbanan, end of the line. Tan Rabbanan. Chafi posachas tahorin, kavan biposacha, the teeth of the key are tahor, kavan biposachas tamein. But once you kovea them into the key, then they become part of a kli, and now they're mekabel tuma. Vishal gal, aval pisha chibron bedelas, vikavan bimismarim tahorin. But if it's a gate lock, even though you attach it to the door and you set it in with nails, you attach it very well, it's tahar. It's not going to be a mekabel tuma. Why not? It's a kli now, isn't it? It's able to function as a lock. So says Gemara, shekol mechuber lekarka hareu kekarka, because the halacha is that which is mechuber lekarka is not mekabel tuma. Kol mechuber lekarka is considered like the karka itself, just like karka is not mekabel tuma. So too mechuber lekarka is not mekabel tuma. We often point out that when it comes to Kabbalah's Tumah, we think that it doesn't have too many halachic ramifications nowadays. So yesterday at the end of the shir, we discussed the halachic ramifications of knowing whether something is pachs mikshir or shir. What difference does it make if you're not chayiv a carbon anyway? What difference does mechubel lekarka, what is mekabel tumah, what's not mekabel tumah, make bizman hazeh? Nowadays we're not knowing tumah and tahara. So there is one area where we are sort of knowing many of the dinim of tumah and tahara, and that's hilchus nida. And the halach is by a kesem, by a stain that a woman finds. If it's found in something that's not mekabel tuma, then it doesn't make her tame. So this is the reason many of the poskim hold, all the poskim hold, that if you find a stain on a toilet bowl, then it's not mekabel tuma, then it's not going to be a problem because it's not mekabel tuma. Why is it not mekabel tuma? Because it's mechubel lekarka. If it weren't mechubel lekarka, it would have a din of a kli, and it would be mekabel tuma. And therefore, if it were white, it would still be able to be metami the isha. So if it's a toilet bowl on an airplane or a bus or something like that, so maybe that would be different. That's not mechubel lekarka, but this is mechubel lekarka. So that's why it's not mekabel tuma. The concept of mechubel lekarka is brought all over Shas. Rav Yosef Engel over here quotes all the different cases where mechubel lekarka comes up, where it's nogea. By tuma, it's a din that we're not mamshich mayim to a mikvah with something that's mekabel tuma. By shvuos, we're not nishboyin ala karkos. In all those that yirios shenischabru lebayis betelim ala bayis. So there are a lot of different halachos. Now it's important because some things are dinim in mechubel lekarka. Other things are dinim in karka itself, in nishboyin ala karkos. There are things that are dinim in nechasim shiyesh lahem achrayos, not being a din in karka per se. Different halachos. You have to look carefully to see which what the details are of each halacha. Zuchuchis kedei ligrobo. Vayter in the Gemara, we said in the Mishnah that the shear of glass for which one is chayiv for carrying on Shabbos is a large enough glass to scrape the weaver's pick. So Tana Sukhuchis kedei liftzoba shnei nimin ka'achas. That some say that the Braisa taught it's not zichuchis, it's sichuchis. Means the same thing, also means glass. And the shear is, instead of saying the amount to scrape the weaver's pick, is the amount to cut two warp threads both at one time. The sharp edge to cut two warp threads at one time. Why would you call it sichuchis rather than zichuchis? So says Rashi, zichuchis valshem shesochin kari sichuchis valshem shizaka kari zichuchis. Zaka means pure and clear, so that's why it would be called zichuchis, right? Some of the Bali Musar say that zaka is when we talk about zichus avos. That zichus avos maybe is not only about the fact that our avos did a great many mitzvos and we're still using up those mitzvos, because then it should really run out very quickly, because we do, we've done our job in terms of doing as many averus as possible to counterbalance those mitzvos. But maybe it's zakus avos, that it's the purity of the avos. Our Kodesh Baruch Hu knows what we come from, so he knows that we're likely to return to that lashon of zaka, so that it's something that's pure and clear. So the glass also, that's why it would be called zechuchis. Sachuchis, he says, al shem is shesochin, that you could look right through it. It's a lashon of looking right through something. So says the Gemara further, Tsraru Evan kedei lizrok ba'of. How large of a rock, and most of our daf is going to be about rocks now, and the various halachos of rocks as it relates to Shabbos. So if you have a rock, how large of a rock is going to be, are you going to be chayiv for carrying? Enough to throw at a bird to scare it away. But then we had the shita of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, who said enough to throw at a behema to scare it away. So two opinions in the Mishnah. Amar Rabbi Yaakov, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, v'hu shemar geshes ba. That's only if the animal feels the rock, meaning it hits the animal. V'kama shiuro. What's the shear of that? Tanur Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, Amar mishkal asar zuz. The weight of 10 zuz. That's the size of the rock. Zonin al the Beimidrasha. This fellow Zonin once went to the Beimidrasha, to the Beis Medrash. Amarlu, and he said, Rabosai, avanim shal beis hakisei shiuron b'kama. What's the shear of avanim shal beis hakisei to be chayavan? Or Rashi says, l'schayavalein inami l'taltan b'chatzar l'achnisan l'beis hakisei, to be able to carry them and to move them in the chatzar and bring them to the beis hakisei, because the halacha is that even though rocks typically are muktza, since they would use rocks to wipe themselves after going to the beis hakisei, so those rocks were not muktza. Those rocks had a function, a use on Shabbos. V'idi Rashi says, chachiyuruhu, d'b'midi d'chazlu m'chayv al tzaso. Now, it's the same question, whether you say, what rock is not muktza and what rock can you be metaltel, because the halacha of what you're allowed to be metaltel is a rock that's usable for the Beis HaKisei, because that gives it chashivus, and so that's why you're allowed to do hotzah on it, and that's why you would not be allowed to do hotzah on it, it would be considered a davar chashiv, and that's what would not make it muktza, since it has some sort of use. So both for the halacha of muktza, lakula, and for the malacha of hotzah, for the both for the halacha of muktzah lekula and for the malacha of hotza'a lechumra, the rock is going to have the same shear. So what is the shear of a viable rock to be used for kinuach after beis hakisei? So amalo, kezayis kegos kebeitza. So you should have a series of three rocks, one the size of a zayis, one the size of an egos, a little larger, and one the size of a beitza, which is a little bit larger than that. So Rashi points out that they would be mekaneach, they would clean themselves with these three size rocks, one right after the other. They would start with the smallest one and then move their way up through the bigger ones. Amar lehu, v'chitur tani yachnis, says, come on, a guy's got to bring a scale with him every time he goes to the Beis HaKisei to figure out the exact size of the rocks. So nimnu v'gamru melo ayad. So they voted and they said, no, the shear is melo ayad. He could fill his hand with rocks and that's what he's allowed to bring in the Beis HaKisei. It doesn't have to be three, it could even be four or five. The Torah or Chaim Simshin Yud Beis says that he could bring avan l'kanech melo yadav. So the Bach says that over here it says Melo Hayad, Mashma Melo Yad Achas. And the Torah uses Lasha Melo Yadav. Yadav is plural. Sounds like he could bring two hands worth. So that's the Bach's Kasha in the Torah. Also, the fact that it says Melo Hayad, it doesn't say Melo Yad, so that means Melo Yad small, because the left hand is the hand, according to the Shulchan Aruch and Simon Gimel, at the very beginning of Shulchan Aruch, when he talks about Anhagas of the Beis HaKisei, you're not supposed to be Mekaneach Biyad Yamin, you're supposed to be Mekaneach Biyad small. So the just in terms of the Yado Yadav thing, the Prima Gadim writes in Mishpat Zav that it's got to be a Tal Sofer in the tour, that he means to say Yado, not Yadav. It's one hand's worth of stones, not two hands worth of stones. Tanya, Rabbi Yossi Yomer, Kezayis Kegos Kebetzer. Rabbi Yossi says, the shear is Kezayis Kegos Kebetzer. Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Yossi Yomer, Yisham Aviv Melo Ayad. Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Yossi says in the name of his father, the name of Rabbi Yossi, that it's Melo Ayad. So we have conflicting views of what Rabbi Yossi actually said. Did he say Kezayis Kegos Kebetzer, or we have like the first tradition, or do we assume that it's Melo Hayad? Tan Rabbanan, Gimel Avanim Krizolos Mutul Hachnas Beis HaKisei. One is allowed to bring three of these stones into the Beis HaKisei. Three of these stones that people would use to wipe themselves, you're allowed to bring into the Beis HaKisei. The Kamashiran, what's the size of these stones? Rameir Omer Ke'egos. Rameir says the shear is the size of an egos. Rabbi Yudah Omer Ke'beitza. Rabbi Yudah says the size of an egg. Amar Rav from Bar Papa, Amar Rav Chista, K'machlokas Kan, Kach Machlokas Pesruk. Oh, you have this Machlokas Tanayim over here, the size of Avanim that you could use for Beis HaKisei. That same Machlokas Tanayim is also the minimum size of an Esrog. Whether the minimum size of an Esrog is an Egos, or the minimum size of an Esrog is a Kebetza. So says Gemara, wait, what are you being Tola in what? Normally, if you have something that's more Yadua, so you'll use that as the example, and say, oh, just like over there, by that Yadua Halacha, that well-known Halacha, so too by this lesser known halacha. But Hasam Asnisin, Hacha Braisa, over there by Esrog, the minimum shear of an Esrog, that's a Mishnah. Over here it's only a Braisa. So why would you say that the same over, as we have over here, so too we have over there. Over there it's a Mishnah. It's much more well known. Elok Machlokas by Esrog, Kach Machlokas Kan. No, what we mean to say is the other way. That just like you have a Machlokas by Esrog, so a good way to remember, we have the same Machlokas. We have the same machlokas over here. Now these gimel avanim ukrizolos, Rashi says, when we say mutalachnas beis hakisei, Rashi says betoch dal ramos, or in a chatzer where we're trying to emphasize that it's not an iser muktza, meaning it would be an iser of hotza if you were carrying it. So Prima Gadim writes that what Rashi means to say is that pachas midal ramos is also mutter. And in Masechus Sukkah on Vavim Beis, Rashi writes betoch dal ramos, and the beis hakisei is in the field, and it's not mukaf mukhi, where it's only an Isra of Tiltul Drabanan, Mishum Kavra Brios, they were not gozer on any Isra of Tiltul Midrabanan. So Tos writes that even to bring from a Carmelist to a Shosi Yachid, and to be metaltal Dal Ramos in a Carmelist, so these are all Yisurim Drabanan. You know that these are all Yisurim of Hotzah, to carry something four Ramos in a Carmelist, to carry something Pachas Midal Ramos, to carry from a Carmelist to a Shosi Yachid. All of these things are Yisurim Drabanan. They're all mutter on Shabbos when you're carrying stones to use for the Beis HaKisei because of Kavod HaBrios. That Kavod HaBrios is Docha Yisurim the Rabbanan. The Rama in Or Chaim Siman Shin Yud Beis quotes two shitos. Yesh Omrim Dafka B'chatzur Mutter to be metalta lavanim, and Yesh Omrim Afilu Mikarmelus L'Rishos Hayachid Nami Shari. So that's the Machlokas Rashi and Tosos. Do we say that this is an example of Kavod Abrios being Docha an Isser de Rabbanan? Why wouldn't you say that Kavod Abrios would be Docha an Isser de Rabbanan over here? So the Bir Halacha points out, because over here it's not just one Isser de Rabbanan, it's two Isser de Rabbanan. It's an Isser Tiltal, an Isser Tiltal Mukta, and it's also an Isser of Hotzah Midrabanan to take from a Carmelist. So the double Isser of Drabanan is maybe the question of whether they allowed Kavod Abrios to be Docha the double Isser. Okay, I'm Rav Yehuda of a lowest pious, but you can't take the pious, which is you're not supposed to use that to wipe yourself with. My pious, what does that mean? I'm Rav Zera Karshine Bavliasa. It's the Babylonian pebbles, which apparently disintegrate, they come apart, and therefore they're less than ideal to be used for wiping. Person is not supposed to use a pebble on Shabbos the same way he uses during the week. Apparently, what they used to do is they would keep the opening of the when they would wipe themselves, they would keep it open by lodging a pebble in there. So you're not allowed to do that on Shabbos the way you would during the week. So Maskma Marzutra Lestakein. Marzutra said, but if you don't do that, it could be a sakana, because the Gemara tells us that Amud Achozer is maybe Adam Lidei Adroken, that if a person holds himself in, it's going to bring him Lidei Adroken, it's going to cause some sort of illness. So no, we're not saying not to use it at all, we're just saying not to use it the same way you use it during the week. You could use it in some backhanded way, just to be metaltal in some other way, just not the same way that one would use it during the week. If there's a makom kavua for a beis hakisei where if you would leave pebbles there from the night before, you'd be able to bring pebbles to have them there the next day. So then you're allowed to carry meloa yad of pebbles there. Im lav kehechra. If not, then it's the shear that we're machria kaegos or a kazayis or a kabeitza of the different rocks. So maducha katana shall be some, like a small pestle of besamim for chopping besamim. Amar of Sheshes im yeshala aid mutter. So if Sheshes says a maducha katana shall besamim, if it's clear on the maducha, on this pestle, that it was used previously for wiping, so then it's mutter. The aid means there's stuff all over it where you could see that it was used for wiping, and therefore it's not being used as a maducha anymore. That's why it's no longer muktza as a pestle. It's now can be considered to be a stone that's used for wiping, and that would make it mutter. So Meisvei asked the Gemara, wait a second, could there be such a thing where you have a maducha, you have a pestle, that the only way it's mutter is you know that it was previously used for wiping. That means you're wiping with a stone that somebody else once used before. Is that really okay? Meisvei asaradvar mevina sa'adam lidei tachtonios. There are 10 things that a person could do that would lead him to get hemorrhoids that are not advisable. Ve'eluhen, and they are ha'ochel alei kanim ve'alei gefanim ve'alei gefanim, eating a variety of different items of different types of leaves from reeds and from grapevines and the branches of the shoots of grapevines. Umarige behema below melech, and ridged meat of an animal that isn't salted. Ve'shidro shel dug, in the spine of a fish. Ve'dug maliach shel bishel kol tzarcho, and a salted fish that hasn't been cooked enough. Vashel and someone who drinks the sediment of wine, and someone who cleans himself with plaster or with pottery. That's the one that we're quoting all this for. If someone cleans himself with a rock that his friend had already used, that's going to lead to hemorrhoids. And some say even someone who doesn't sit in the Beis HaKisei, he's sort of squatting, holding himself up in the Beis HaKisei, that's another thing that could lead to hemorrhoids. But bottom line is, you see that if someone else already used it, it's dangerous. Not a wise idea to use the same thing. So how can we say by the pestle that the only way you can be able to use the pestle is if it's got an aid on it, if it's clear that someone else had used it? Says Gemara, a couple of answers. Lo kasha hablach habiyavish. Maybe it makes a difference if it's moist or if it's already dry. Lach, if it's moist, you can't use it, but if it's dry, then you can use it. V'ibayisema kan mitzanechad kan mibeisad, or it could be that there's still a clean side to it. If there's still a clean side to it, you can use the clean side. Whereas if it's completely dirty on both sides, then you can't use it. Or it could just be that it was previously used by you, not by somebody else. If it was used by somebody else, then it would be a problem. If it was used by the same person, then it would not be a problem. By the Rav Yossi, look at all the problems toilet paper solved. You know, you don't have to worry about any of this stuff. So Amaleh by the Rav Yosef, Abai says Rav Yosef, Yardu Alei Gishon Mitashtashu Mahu. If it rained and it became smothered by the rain, all mushed around by the rain, so then what would be the din? Is it, does it ruin its yichud as being used for toilet paper? And we say, no, now it's just a pestle, and therefore it's muksa again? Or do we say, no, it's still miyucha to be used for toilet paper? So Amaleh, Imhai Rishuma Nikur Mutter, as long as you could still tell that it was used for that purpose, it's going to be mutter. By me, Rav Bar Rav Shila May Rav Chista. What about bringing all the stuff up onto the roof to go to the bathroom? Do we say that that's Tirchi Yaseira and we try not to burden ourselves too much on Shabbos and therefore you should not do that on Shabbos? Or do we say, no, you're going to a private place and the roof is the most private place, so that's where you could bring the stuff up, the stones up to the roof? You're going to the roof because it's a private area. Rash says, where do we find the Kavar Abrios Docholosei in the Torah? Pasuk says, V'salamta mehem, prat l'zakin ve'nil fi kvodo, in the mitzvah v'ashavas aveda. This is one of the examples where Chazal have a unique style of darshaning, where one of the ways that they darshan is they misplace commas in psukim. They'll take a comma and they'll put it in the wrong place, or they'll take a phrase out of context and say, that phrase is tells us something. The way the Torah phrased it, where they juxtapose these two words, you can look at this phrase individually, even though in the context of the pasuk it's clearly saying something else. V'salamtam mehem is a very classic example of that. What does v'salamtam mehem mean? That you see that you should hide yourself from it. What does the pasuk actually say? Do not see the aveda of your friend and hide yourself from it. Rather, you should hashev tashivim. You should go pick it up and actually return it. But Chazal said you could take the fact that v'salamtam mehem appears. Sounds like if you were to take it out of context, it sounds like at some point you're allowed to hide away from, pretend you don't see it. So who's that for? Who's allowed to pretend they don't see it? So that's a zakein vein lefik fodo. Someone who it's a zakein, it would be beneath his dignity to return that object. If for a person, a pair of underwear was lost, so for a zakein to walk around with that, returning it would be terribly humiliating. So he doesn't have a mitzvah v'ashavas aveda. He doesn't have to do it. A zakein vein lefik fodo. So over here also, Tiltul Drabanan on for the Lav Lo Sasser is all based on the Lav Lo Sasser. Makom Kavod Abrios, we're Doche. Rashi says that's Rashi. The Marsha Meseches Megillah of Gimlum Beis, where Rashi says Lo Suchal Dis Aleim Kigon Zaken Venel Fikvodo. Marsha says we don't learn from the Salanta, because the Gemara in Brachos says that Shiny Hasam Dechsiv V'Salamta. The sugi of Kavod Abrios is the sugi in Brachos Taf Yates. So the Gemara tries to figure out where Kavod Abrios really is learned from. So the Gemara suggests maybe it's from Zaken Venel Fik Vodo. The Gemara says no, that's a pasuk over there that tells you that that's an exception. That's not the rule. So we have to learn the rule of Kavod Abrios from somewhere else. The Gemara says Kavod Abrios Docha Losi Shabbatora. It's not really Docha Losi Shabbatora. It's only Docha Adrabanan, the love of Losasur, because the Rabban were simply not gozer, but Makom Kavod Abrios. Meaning the fact that Kavod Abrios Doch, the mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda, that's, or Lo Suchal Lesalim, that you're not allowed to hide from a lost object, that's an exception to the rule. Kavod Abrios is definitely, generally not Doche, an Isidor Raisa, like failing to do Hashavas Aveda. Kavod Abrios is only generally Doche, Isurim Drabanan. When we say Lo Se Shabbatara, it's a misnomer. We mean the Lav Lo Sasa, which means only Isurim Drabanan. So very strange why Rashi keeps on quoting this example here in the Megillah Daf Gimel as the source of Kavod Abrios being Docha Losase Shabbat Torah. Generally speaking, Salim Din Drabban, the context of the Sugi and Brachos we've mentioned in the past is we certainly mentioned it when we did Brachos. The context of the Sugi and Brachos is the case of a person who's wearing shatness. You see someone wearing shatness in the Shuk. So if they're wearing shatness, do you have to take off your clothing if you discover that you're wearing shatness in the Shuk? So if it's so we said that the Gemara concludes over there that if it's shatnis midrabanan, so then kavod abrius dochalos seisha b'toritz docha nisudrabanan. The other exception is if you're doing the avera b'shevi altase, even if it's daraisa, but if it's violated b'shevi altase, kavod abrius is docha that as well. So that's the problem, though, is that wearing shatnis it may be called b'kum v'asei. It's two girsos in that Gemara, Rosh and the Rambam, whether it's somebody you see shatnis on somebody else or you see shatnis on yourself, what the proper girsa is in that Gemara. It's a much bigger topic. But certainly if you discover on yourself shatnis midaraisa, then the conclusion of the Gemara over there is that you have to remove it, even though it's going to be a hit to the person's human dignity, because we view that as an active, as a kumva asay, wearing shatnis on oneself. Okay, Yasin Maremer v'kamla lahashmeitzah. So Maremer was saying over this teaching, Eisvei Ravina l'Maremer. So Ravina asked Maremer, Rabbi Elazar Amar not l'adam kisei mishalafanav lachtos boshinav v'chamram lo yital elamine eva shal behema. That Rabbi Elazar, you could take a splinter from in front of you, if there are splinters on the ground, which are normally muktza, but you're allowed to take one to use it as a toothpick. And l'cham say, no, don't take it unless from an eva shal behema, which is muchan, and therefore is not considered to be muktza. But if it were a muktza issue, you would not be allowed to use the toothpick. So asks the Gemara, but wait a second, isn't this kavod abrios that you're going to have? It's not going to look good. You're going to be embarrassed to walk around like that. So nevertheless, we say that we're still chacham or mamid divrayim. The chacham are still being machmir on an issue of muktza, even when it's going to be a problem for kavod abrios. Says Gemara, hachi asha, you can't compare the two cases. Hasam adam kaveh makam l'su'uda. Hacha adam kaveh makam v'sakisei. Meaning when it comes to a makom l'su'uda, a person is koveh a makom for a su'uda. He knows he's going to be eating in a certain location. And therefore, knowing that in advance, that's one of the preparations a person is expected to do for Shabbos. You can't just have Shabbos come and say, oh, what am I supposed to do? Kavod abrios. You knew you were going to be eating here tomorrow. You know you always need toothpicks when you eat. So you should have set aside toothpicks that aren't muktza from before Shabbos and brought them there. And then you would have been okay. But by the Beis HaKisei, sometimes it's a surprise where the person ends up going to the Beis HaKisei. A person is going somewhere and he has to go, so he has it's very difficult to prepare in advance, and that's why we're willing to be makel by that kind of kavod abrios. Amrav Huna, asul fanos besada near b'Shabbos. A person should not go to the bathroom in a plowed field on Shabbos. My taima, what's the reason? What's the problem with going to the bathroom in a plowed field? So Gemara has a few suggestions, three suggestions. First possibility, ilema mishum davsha. If you say that, you're going to be trampling on someone else's field right after he plowed it, and that's not nice. You're going to be ruining all of his work. So then afilu b'chol nami. Then that has nothing to do with Shabbos. You can't do that on a weekday either. You're not allowed to ruin other people's stuff. Ve'ela, second possibility, mishum asavim. Maybe the problem is that because of the moisture of the ground, there's grass that grows on the rocks, and when you wipe yourself with such rocks that have a little bit of grass on them, it's going to detach the grass from the rocks, and that's going to be the problem. And that's a Shabbos problem. So Vamrei Shlakish Rishok says, no, that can't be the problem. Tzror Sha'aluba Asavim. If you have a rock that has grass growing on it, you're allowed to be mekaneach with such a rock. So don't tell me that the whole issue is asavim. You see, you're allowed to be mekaneach with such a rock. Now, if you happen to pull the grass off directly, so you're chayiv chatos. But to wipe with it is okay. So Ella, so what is the problem with a person defecating in a field that was plowed on Shabbos? Ella, dilma nakit me'eloi v'shadol tasai u'mechayiv mishum deraba. Now, the concern is that a person might take a rock from one of the furrows that are high up, and then after he uses it, he'll throw it into a hole in the field, and he'll even out the ground of the field, and that's going to be a violation of malacha as per Rabbah's statement. What did Rabbah say? Da amar Rabbah, haislo guma, vitimima, if you had a hole in the ground and you closed up the hole, let's say you threw rocks in to close up the hole, depending on where you are, you chayiv for different malachos. Bebayis, chayiv mishum bona. If you're in the house, then you chayiv for building, because when you even out the floor of your house, that's a violation of bona, that's a violation of building the floor. Besada, chayv mishum choresh. If you're out in the field, so then it's a violation of choresh. Then it's a violation of plowing. So that's why one is not allowed to go to the bathroom in a plowed field on Shabbos. We're afraid he's going to take a rock from a higher area, throw it into a hole in the field, thereby filling in the hole, and filling in a hole in the field is a violation of choresh. So it's a gzeira midrabanan, lest one comes to choresh. Gufa. Amresh Lakish, Tzor Shalaba Asavim. We were talking about a rock that's growing grass on it. So if you have a rock that has grass on it, Mutal Kanechba, one is allowed to wipe himself with it. Vatolish Menab Shabbos, Chayev Chatos. But if he rips off the grass from it on Shabbos, he's Chayev Chatos. Amrav Papi, Shmamina Midresh Lakish. What we see from Resh Lakish is that High Parpisa, Shari Little Tule, that a person is allowed to move a certain type of flower pot. So Maskler of Kahana im Amru Litzorach Yomru Shalol Litzorach. What? He was talking about using a rock that has grass on it to wipe yourself where you need it. So that's where he said, yeah, you could be metaltal because you need it to wipe yourself. So Stam, to move this type of flower pot, that's going to be mutter? Where did he ever say that? So Amar Abaye Parpisa Holvas Liyadam Lema Beimilsa. He says, let me tell you something about Parpisa. Once we're discussing Parpisa, this type of flower pot, I'll tell you something about Parpisa. Hayimunach al gabe karka veinicho al gabe yesedos mechayev mishum tolesh. If it was sitting on the ground and you picked it up and put it on pegs, stood it up on pegs where there's airspace now between the ground and this flower pot, you're chayev for being tolesh, for detaching it from the ground. It's considered to be mechubel karka because it has a hole in the bottom of the pot. So we view it, this atzitz nakuv, as if it's mechubar lekarka. Hayimunach al gabi yesedos, if it was on pegs, v'inich al gabi karka, chayv mishum noteya. If it was on pegs and you brought it down to the ground, what is chayv for planting? This Rashi over here about Parpisa is a very well-known Rashi. It's a very good maramakom in general. Look at this Rashi. I Parpisa, atzitz nakuv shazarubo. It's an atzitz nakuv, a flower pot with a hole in it that they planted in. Okay, so far nothing too fancy in Rashi. Then says Rashi, but shuvas hagaonim matzasi, sha'osim chosalos mikapus tamarim. They would make baskets out of palm branches. Umimalinosam afar v'zevel behema, they would fill it up with dirt and with manure. V'chaf bezo tesvav yom lifnei Rosh Hashanah, and then 22 days or 15 days prior to Rosh Hashanah, osin kol echad ve'echad l'shem kol katan u'ketan shebebayis, they would make for one for each child in the house. V'zorim l'tochon pula mitzri, they would plant in this flower pot that now had dirt and had manure in it, they would plant a certain type of bean. O kitnis, v'korin lo porpisa, and they would call that a porpisa, v'tzameach, and then it would grow, u'be'erev Rosh Hashanah, and then on Erev Rosh Hashanah, a couple of weeks later, notol kol echad shalo, here it is, everyone would take their basket, u'machziro svivos rosho shiva pa'amim, and they would move it around their head seven times, they would encircle it around their head seven times, v'omer, and they would say, ze tachazeh, v'ze chalifasi, v'ze Tmurasi, umashlichu l'nahar. They would say this instead of this one. This should be switched for me. And then they would throw it into the river. This is the earliest source we have for the minhag of kaparos. A little bit different. No chickens, no money. It's with plants, but it's the earliest source of the minhag of kaparos. We know that there's a major discussion in the Rishonim, right? I mean, because this is from the Gaonim. This is from the Chavos Gaonim. There's a major discussion in the Rishonim about doing kaparos with chickens. That the idea of doing it with a chicken is kros hagever, that a rooster is called a gever. So we say that it makes sense to say that under, instead of a gavra, instead of a person, so let it go on the gever, on the chicken or the rooster, let all the Averos be transferred. But the Rashba was adamantly against the minhag of kaparos. He thought it was chukas akum. He thought it reeked of darke amori, of something that was a practice of the amorim. So in Shulchan Aruch, I think Shulchan Aruch is against it. Shulchan Aruch doesn't like the idea of kaparos. But this is the original form of it. It involved a plant, which is less exciting, I guess, but it was more of a process. I mean, you have to be prepared a few weeks in advance and plant the dafka for this purpose. But that's the original source of kaparos that we find anywhere. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, asul kaneach b'charis b'shabbos. Back in the Gemara, so back to kinuach. So Rabbi Yochanan says one is not allowed to clean himself with a cheres, with pottery, on Shabbos. My time is, so what's the problem? Three possibilities. Ile mishum sakana. If you say it's an issue of sakana, well, afilu b'chol nami. Well, then it should be asur. during the week also. You're not allowed to do dangerous things during the week either. The Ella, second possibility, Mishum Kshafin. So then I feel B'chol Namilo. If it's a concern of Kishuv, so then it shouldn't be permissible during the week either. Kishuv is Aser during the week as well. We'll get to how it relates to Kishuv toward the end of the Gemara. The Ella Mishum Hasharas Nimin. Now maybe the concern is that it's gonna remove hair because it's very sharp. So when you use it, it's gonna remove hairs. Well, Davar Shein Miskavinu. That's a Davar Shein Miskavin. So the fact that it's Davar Shein Miskavin, if you hold like Rabbi Shimon, that should be mutter. So Rabbi Yochanan holds Davar Shein Miskavin is mutter. So how could Rabbi Yochanan be the one to tell me that you're not allowed to be mekaneach with Cheres on Shabbos? All three possibilities failed. Can't be any of these reasons. So Amar Rav Nasan Baroshia, Gavar Rabba Amar Milsa, name of Bataima. If a Gavar Rabba said something, we need to be able to justify, we need to be able to explain it well. So there has to be a reason that he held that we have such a tradition that Rabbi Yochanan held that you're not allowed to be mekaneach with Cheres. So what he meant to say is, lo mi baya b'chol da aser, aval b'shabbos hol vika toros kliya lav shapir dami, kamash milan. What he meant to say is not that it's only aser on Shabbos, it's that it's even aser on Shabbos. I might have thought that on chol, of course it's aser, but on Shabbos, where it's ika toros kliya lav, where it's considered to be a kli, even that's going to be aser. So therefore, he's saying is that the kishuv problem is still intact, and that's why it's still intact on Shabbos. It's nogea to Shabbos as well. So that's why. So go back to that answer, to answer number two, as to why it is that you're not allowed to use cheres. It relates to kishuv. Rava masna mishum asharas nimin. Rava says no. It relates to the removing of hairs. But we said that Rabbi Yochanan holds davar shein miskavin is mutter. So shouldn't asharas nimin not be a problem? You're not trying to remove hairs with the pottery that one's wiping himself with. So v'kashle Rabbi Yochanan. So therefore raises the stira in Rabbi Yochanan, because if he says that you're not allowed to use the pottery because it's removing hairs, that's another way of saying davar shein miskavin is Aser, but we know Rabbi Yochanan generally holds davar shein miskavin is mutter. Miyom Rabbi Yochanan asul kaneach becheres b'shabbos. Gemara spells out the question: does Rabbi Yochanan really say you're not allowed to clean with cheres on Shabbos? Alma davar shein miskavin aser, which would imply that he holds a davar shein miskavin is aser. But v'am Rabbi Yochanan halacha k'stam mishnah. But Rabbi Yochanan also holds the halacha is like a stam mishnah utnan, and we have a stam mishnah that says as follows: nazir chofef u'mefasfes avelo sorek, that a nazir is allowed to rub his hair. He's allowed to untangle his hair, but he's not allowed to comb his hair. So that's a Stam Mishnah. So what do you see? The fact that he's allowed to rub his hair, he's allowed to smooth out his hair, he's only not allowed to comb, because combing the hair is a psik reshe, that hairs are going to be removed. But doing other things that involve manipulating the hair, where hairs might be removed in a davar shein miskavin kind of way, the Nazir is allowed to do those things. And Rabbi Yochanan paskins that way. Why is the Nazir allowed to do it? Because it's davar shein miskavin. The only thing he's not allowed to do is when it's psik reshe. When it's when he's combing, so then it's a psik reshe that hair is going to be removed. That he's not allowed to do. But something that's only a davar shein miskavin, he is allowed to do. So how can isn't it a steer in Rabbi Yochanan? El mechavartik Rav Nosson Baroshia. So you have to say like Rav Nosson Baroshia said. We have to stick with that answer, which was that lomi baya b'chol, that it's asur on a weekday, it's asur on Shabbos also, related to kishuv. Mike Shafim, what's the story with kishuv? What kind of kishuv is involved? Kiyad Rav Chisav Rabba Barafuna, Havakazli Ba'arba, Rav Chisav and Rabba Barafuna were going on a boat. Amrlu Ahima Trunisa, so there was a woman who said, Usvan Ba'adaychu, let me sit with you, I want to come with you on the boat. Velo Usvuha, they said, sorry, you're not invited to join us. So Amr Ihi Milsa Asarta La'arba, she said some sort of statement, some kishuv type of statement, and it tied the boat down. The boat was unable to move. So Amr Inhu Milsa Sharyua. So they said something, and all of a sudden the boat was able to move. They were able to be matu the boat. So Amr Lahu Mai Yavaluchu. So she said, how am I ever going to be able to get you guys? I can't use kishuv on you. Why? Because you do things that avoid problems of kishuv. Number one, you don't wipe yourselves with a shard of pottery. So you see, that's the kishuv problem. Meaning, when one does wipe themselves with a shard of pottery, apparently it leaves them susceptible to kishuv. Then just parenthetically mentions the other things that they don't do that would leave one susceptible to kishuv. You don't kill lice on your your clothing. You just shake them off your clothing instead of killing them there. The other thing you don't do is you don't take out vegetables from a bundle that the person who works in the garden has tied up. Rather, if you want a vegetable, you first untie the bundle and then you take out the vegetable. If you would do it in the reverse, then it would be terrible. Then it would be terrible for kishuv. You leave yourselves very susceptible to kishuv. Okay, the big question over here, how they were able to practice kishuv, right? They also said something that involved kishuv, so that's a kasha that a number of the Akronim try to work on. All right, we'll pick up on the two dots.